You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you for this blessed time we have to hear your word again. I pray that you will open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your law. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. You may please be seated. Hallelujah. And for the short time we have to hear the word of God, I'm going to preach one more time from what it means to be as wise as serpent. Hallelujah. The Ethiopian eunuch said, when Philip asked him if he knows and understands the things that he was reading, he says that, how can I except some man teach me? How can I? So we also need to be taught what it means to be as wise as serpent. Hallelujah. That is why this book is a prophetic book. I think it's a prophetic book with prophetic insight as to how to, you know, live your life, how to tread on this earth and to do ministry, to live here on earth and to serve God. Hallelujah. And this morning I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to continue from last week. Last week I was sharing about, I was trying to move forward, but I felt the Holy Spirit saying, look, I didn't finish this, so I should talk about a lot, because there's a lot of truth. I'm not in a hurry to finish the book, but I'm rather eager to bring out some of the revelations to all of us. Hallelujah. That is more important to me than to say that, oh, we finished the book. Amen. How many of you want to have revelations? Have revelations. Revelation is important. We have a whole book called the Book of Revelation. It's important. So we need revelations from the Word of God. Amen. So Jesus said that we should be as wise as serpents. Be therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, because we are sheep in the midst of wolves. And last week I was sharing about the serpents being masters of survival. Survival is very important. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says that Paul said he knows both. He says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. It means I know the extremes. Do you understand it? I know both. So if you know, it's like an engine, the engine of the aeroplane. An aeroplane has some of the big ones have four engines, two on the left, two on the right, okay? And then some of them also have two big engines, one on the left, one on the right. They are all active. Every single engine is on. One can work, but the two engines are turned on if the airplane is supposed to operate in its optimum best. Amen. So Paul says that I have this side, I have this other side. I can do this, I can also do that. Many people can do one. But Paul, when I say Paul is an example of believers. Paul is an example of ministers. Paul is an example. And if you don't have any example to follow, it means you will fail. You are likely to fail. You see, it's highly likely you are going to fail. Because that's why he said that, be you followers of me as I follow Christ. So most of the time, you need to follow, we have examples to follow. The things in the Bible are examples for us to follow. They are written for our example. So you can't say that you don't have any example. The past questions are there. Everything you are going through has been documented in the Bible. It has been written. There is a solution. There is a way around it. Don't say that, as for you, your situation is different. Your situation is no different. Your situation is being recorded. There is nothing, almost every human problem, every single human problem has a solution in the Bible. I said every single human problem has a solution in the Bible. So yours is no different. It's the same thing. So Paul is an example for believers. Paul is an example for ministers. Paul was able to, he says, I know both. I know both. Say, you should also be able to say, I know both. How to be abased. Abased is how to go down, how to be low. Do you understand it? And how to abound, how to have much. I know how to be hungry. And he says that I also know how to be hungry. And then I also know how to be full. He says, everywhere in all and in all things. Everywhere and in all things. I know how to be full. And I know how to be hungry. I know both of these ones. I also know both how to have a lot of things and how to suffer need. Hey, it's not a simple thing. You know, today many people know one side. I know how to only receive, how to have. It's not scriptural. Do you get it? So, I shared with you that the snake survives. It's a survivor. And you must also be a survivor. You must survive. All right? Don't just be there. You must survive as the serpent has survived. Okay? To survive means to endure. And I'm going to give you some few more meanings of survival. It means to endure and to remain in existence in spite of all circumstances. All right? It also means to get along and remain healthy, happy, and unaffected. Many people are affected. Many people are not healthy. Circumstances have made them unhealthy. Do you get it? Circumstances have made them unhappy. You see, your happiness should not be based on circumstances, because the circumstances usually will be in the opposite of what maybe you are expecting a lot of times. Do you understand it? So it's your responsibility to remain healthy and to remain. I like the descriptions that prophet is giving here. Healthy, happy, and unaffected. Very important. They are very important words for everybody. Many people are not happy. No, you have to make yourself happy. Try and be happy. All right? Try and be happy. Don't allow circumstances. So many things can make you unhappy. You must try and remain happy despite the circumstances. Many things can make you unhealthy. Believe God to remain healthy, spiritually healthy. Some people are not healthy spiritually because of one or two encounters. They have been destroyed and their spiritual state is, you know, wobbling, shaky. And then you are so affected by the circumstance that many people, you know, this one I was thinking about somebody. I said, oh, this person, I don't even know what it is that except people come to church and they cannot survive. You don't even know what has happened to them. And after some time, some things like it's like an eject button. Something ejects them. Because there's a time in your Christian walk that if you don't have the ability to survive, the system or the circumstances will just eject you because you couldn't survive. You must survive some things in church. Yes, we are in a church with human beings. Circumstances are not, there's nothing like you meet people. You talk to people. So you must survive anything in church. Once a church is a good place, it's good to be in church. Church has never been a place that there's nothing like, oh, friction. Who told you? You, even in your house, is there no friction in your house? Eh? It's not like quarrels per se, but like there's something. Oh, ironing things out. If the friction is good so that things will be nice. Do you understand it? I mean, if you read Acts 6, even Acts 6, the Bible says that, is it 5? At Acts, when the disciples, that was the early days of Christianity, they decided to share food. Even sharing of food brought problem. Do you understand it? That's where you even friction started. That's during the days of Peter. Sharing of food. There was this dissension and, you know, confusion, like sharing of food. If you see just basic things as sharing of food, feed from there. It's not up to the sharing of food. They are sharing rice and also, you gave me an enmity and you gave this person, you can see that these people are from your hometown. So you give them the meaty part of the fish, and then the head of the Nkanfana's head. That is what you are putting on my that's what you are putting on my rice. Then they started complaining. That's it. They must, and they need to still survive. Do you understand it? Look, I'm not joking. Every problem has occurred before. Basic food. If there was a problem with food, then there will be. So you must survive. You don't leave church because of something as trivial as some of the things that we have heard of. Hallelujah. So survival is important. You need to survive, all right? Snakes have survived different circumstances. Survived in water. Survived in the desert. Survived in the cold ice. I mean, they've survived in different places. And they have remained. And a lot of lions are finished in Ghana. I don't know whether there's any of our forests that has a lion. Do we have? I don't think so. But surely, we do have snakes everywhere. Do you understand it? Lions are finished. I don't think there's any of our... I don't think so. But it's, I will go and catch him and put him in the zoo. Catch him and put him in the zoo. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you can easily not survive if you don't develop the ability to stay. All right? Now, last week I was in the second service. I gave some very nice... And to make you understand what survival means, I'll just go through some of them. And I shared with you last week that somebody like, what's his name? Joseph. How many of you remember Joseph last week? Joseph survived the hatred of his own brethren. He survived that. He was sold into slavery. He didn't die. He could have died though. You know, they wanted to kill him. He survived death. Attempted murder. They attempted to kill him, but he survived that. That's the first one. Then when he went to Potiphar's house, he survived as a slave. He survived there. Now, that's also a type of circumstance, a type of situation. He survived. The Bible says that, and God was with him. The key there is that God must be with you. You must have God. You need God. You must have God. God was with him. God was with him. And his master even saw that, this guy, God is with him. God is with him. You need God to be with you. In every situation you are in, if God is with you, you will do well. May you do well in Jesus' name. May you survive any circumstance that comes your way. And we also know that he later was thrown into prison. He was actually in prison for 10 years, about 10 years. The story doesn't really, if you read... He was 10 years. It was about 10 years, about 2 years in a year or something in Potiphar's house, thrown into prison for about 10. When he came out, I think it was about 40 years. Yeah. Because when he left, he was 17 years old. So he's about 10 years in prison. He survived it. He didn't become bitter. 10 years. But he was doing well. In Genesis 39, he was doing well in prison. The Lord was with him. The Bible says that the Lord extended kindness to him and he found favor in the sight of the prison keeper. He was favored by the prison keeper and he committed everything in the prison, all the prisoners in the prison into his hand. That the Bible says that there was nothing that was done in the prison that was not done by him. That didn't go through Joseph. He was in charge of everything. And everything that was done there, he was the doer of it. The Bible says he was the doer of it. The doer of it. Emitting all the movement. So let me tell you something. A death about things that you are talking about, thinking, blaming people, you may be the doer of it. You are the doer of it. Yes. The doer of it. Everything. So, but he survived. And he came out from the prison. And he became prime minister of the land. What a blessing. To survive. He survived for how many years? About 13 years. Many Christians will be ejected after 2 years. It's terrible. But meanwhile, Joseph's story is one of the comforting stories to you. But why can't you survive adversity for 13 years? 13 years of suffering wrong. What has been done to you was not right. But he was never bitter. He was not destroyed by the circumstances. Hey! 13 years. I mean, everything was wrong. He was sold by his brothers. He was in the house as a slave. I mean, he was not supposed to be a slave, but he was a slave there. He was wrongly accused again. Ah! Then he was thrown into prison, where the Bible says that that was the where he was put into the prison where kings and the masters of Egypt, they are prisons. That's where he was put. If you are punished specially, they have a place for those who serve in the king's court. I'm sure their punishment is special. They have more punishments than the others. I'm sure they can serve them well too. Sometimes the punishment, a lot of punishment comes with a lot of benefits. Maybe. But listen, you know, you imagine. Can you imagine? You think about it. Think about it. You have finished school and you are not working for 10 years. You finish university and you don't have a job for 10 years. Or you get a job for 3 years, you go to the workplace, you are there, now one day you are told that you have stolen money. Meanwhile, you didn't steal the money. And you come home for the next 7 years. Many people stop serving God. Bah, what a God. I've served God now. Look at what I'm facing. Oh, Charlie. What is the use? That is the error. Do you get it? Yo. So, may you survive. So I shared these things with you last week, but I wanted to share with you some few things. So, meanings. Okay, I shared these things last week. I'll just go through them quickly. To survive means, survivor means permanence. Okay, the state of happening or existing for a long time, for all time in the future. So your survivor will make you exist in the future. Do you understand it? You see, your being here today is, whatever you are going through today, it's a test for tomorrow. If you're able to organize yourself well, you will exist in the future. Do you understand what I'm saying? The future is tomorrow. There is hope in tomorrow. So don't destroy yourself today. Don't destroy the opportunities you have today. Do you understand it? Don't throw your hands in the air or throw in the towel today. Survive today. So that the future, your existence will be guaranteed tomorrow. Because if you don't, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow has blessings. Tomorrow has great things. But you must survive. You must survive the hardships of today. You must survive the difficulties of today. You must survive whatever it is. Now, the work of God is the same thing. You must survive to be able to continue in serving God in the future. Yes. That's why we have people who sing, who are singing and they don't sing today. People who are preaching, they don't preach today. People who used to bass people, they are not bassing today. People who used to gather God's people, they don't gather today. They used to exist in the past, but they didn't survive today. So they worked in the past, but their survival didn't extend into today. So they are finished. Ministry is finished for them. Mercy, say mercy. May ministry not finish for you. It is till the end. We survive till the very end. You see, survival has to do with so many things. And I'm going to tell you stories. Today is a recap and a few stories. Then we'll continue. I hope to finish the book with some few things. I mean, situations. To survive in the future. Hey, you need to position yourself and act in a way and think in a way that the future you will exist Otherwise, there are animals that are not in existence, like dinosaurs. Dinosaurs used to be in existence. You know, huge animals. They were big. But they are gone. A lot of the animals that have gone into existence, one of their characteristics, main features, is the fact that they were big. They were huge. Huge. You are noticeable. Sometimes maybe there's pride in your being big. So, maybe that's one of the reasons why they are gone into extinction. Their size. Do you get it? Yeah. And the snakes are, so we have them in all shapes and sizes. You can have the snake, very tiny snake that can just, somebody was telling me that there were some rocks and like, you know, these, they call them finger stones. You see what we've done on the planters up there. What we planted, we call them finger stones. We arrange them. It's a design called finger stones. The next time you see it, remember it is called what? Finger stones. Why are you laughing? Is it not true? It's true. You are a builder, so you know it's okay. It's called finger stones. All right? Now you see the way they are arranged this way. Snakes are able to hide in it. You see there are spaces. Yes. Snakes are able to hide in it. Don't take snakes for granted though. They'll be hiding as you are lying on it taking a picture. No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. So as I was, so one day I was describing it to somebody that they can be in one of these things. Eh? And then he said, oh, it's true. One day they were somewhere, they've done this. And so they were talking and they saw that a snake had just brought the head out. And when he saw that, he went back, it went back in. And they forced and cut the neck. And when they pulled it, it had coiled itself so much. It was a long snake that had coiled itself and it was just in there. Long, slim snake that had coiled itself. It's not too big. You want to look big. I don't want to be big so that I can hide in there and I can lie to you that I don't exist. But I'm there. Hey! Snakes are some way. They're very some way. In fact, there are some way animals. There are some way predators. Pa 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 pa. Very some way. So when sometimes I see people lying in the grass and sleeps, hey, are you not afraid? They just sleep in the grass. Some say, anyway. You need to also have faith. So, but no problem. May you exist in the future. Now I'm talking about ministry. Listen to me, men and brethren, we've got to work for the Lord and do His work. I only want to encourage you to just add the work of God to what you are doing. Do something, all right? Are you listening? Don't give up. Oh, you must exist in church and survive in the future. In 5 years, we must find you doing something for God. Teaching, gathering people. And showing them the way to church, coming to church, you must survive it. It doesn't come on you, eh? You survive it. It's not something that will, it's like a desire, or it's like you are there, no, you feel for. Oh, I want to eat fine ice. You know, you feel like you want to eat fine ice. It's not like that. You don't feel for. This one, you must survive it. You must plan for it and survive it. And look, I'm going to do this and I will survive. Whether rain or shine, I'll do it till the very end. And may you do it till the very end in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the next one is continuity. All right? A situation in which something happens or exists for a long time without stopping or changing. Don't stop. Is that a song you sang? Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Prayer, many Christians even, let's even use prayer. You must survive the test of prayer. One of it is time. Okay? Time. You must also allow time for certain things to be done. So when people don't have patience, they don't continue in prayer. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. And you have to pray for hours. Sometimes you are praying and it's so that you don't feel, you want to feel the presence of God. But continue, continue. The presence of God is coming. You feel the presence, but you have to continue. You have to break certain things. Sometimes you have been, your soul is not relaxed. So many things agitate, so many things that it has to calm down before you begin to experience God. Do you understand it? Survive that test. Okay? May you not change and may you not stop serving God. I'm preaching for you to revive. If you used to serve God, do something. Revive it, oh. Revive it. Don't kill it. Quickly. Survival. You must survive. Stability. A situation in which things happen as they should. And there be no harmful changes. Some of the harmful changes are harmful. Very harmful changes. You shouldn't change. Many people have changed from being in church to being at home. It is harmful. From serving God. It's even harmful to serve God and to serve God yesterday and today, you are not serving God. What did Paul say? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So, woe is you if you used to preach the gospel and you don't preach the gospel again. Yes. Woe is you who, if you used to do something for God and you don't do it again. Woe. Woe is like, Paul is saying, I'm dead if I don't do this. So, he's obviously saying that there's no other way but for me to just serve God. You can't preach today and say that, look, I've done it for 20 years, we thank the Lord. No, you do it till you die, till the very end. So you can't talk, you can't do whatever again. You do it till the very end. There's no retirement in serving God, by the way. You see, don't allow the world standards to creep into God's work. Yes, 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 again, yes. There's nothing like retirement. And by the way, retirement is different from different. You know, in Singapore, old people work in the restaurants. The old people, you see them mopping the floor. Yeah, they are strong. See them, they are the ones taking the. When they go on retirement, they're the ones, they get such jobs. Old people are still working. They're cleaning the restaurant. You see, we are big. I've gone on retirement. Ah, you see that picture they show us, banks and all these insurance companies. You see somebody sitting at the beach with a glass of juice by the side and then with a table and they have put their legs on the table and they are reading newspapers with their juice. It's like retirement. Please remove that from your mind. Adamak, isn't that interesting? It's very interesting. It's like retirement. Retirement is like you are sitting at the beach with your glass of juice. And then you are what? Reading newspapers. That's all you are going to do till you die. No, 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 no. It will make you die very early. You die too early, so don't think that way, all right? So a harmful change is to stop working for God midstream. You don't end it. You work till you die. Jesus preached till he died. Do you get it? It's very harmful to be on this road and then to stop. It's rather dangerous. You see, that's what has happened to Europe and America. I'll show you what has happened to them. They brought the gospel to us. They stopped. Now they've been taken over by other spirits. Other spirits, homosexual things, homosexual spirit, homosexual humanistic humanism. It's a philosophy. Humanness and driven by science and all that. All those things. Do you understand it? It's one of the main spirits in Europe and in America now. Because they stopped sending missionaries. They stopped sending people to preach. When you stop, immediately other things take over. It's a harmful change. You can change, but you don't change for the worse. It's almost like a change downwards. It's like you change your gear from 5 to 4. It's very serious. Yeah. The path of the just is like the shining light. That shineth more and more. Unto the perfect day. You don't shine more and less. So that's what has happened to Europe. Actually, Europe is coming from the word Europa. Europa is somebody who was a princess and was deceived by a god, all right? And so, and was taken away by a bull, another god. So they took, was taken away by another god. So when you descend into other things, other gods take over your land. Because it's actually a myth. That is their name. And it has happened exactly the way the myth is to them. That's how it is. The name of Europe is, the name Europe is coming from the myth of Europa, who was okay with his father in the house. Everything was fine. And was seduced by other spirits, forsook his father, the original father he had, and was driven away and sent away by Zeus, who turned himself into a bull, another god, and drove him away. So one day you see the sign of Europe, the European Union. It is a bull with something on sitting on it. That's a myth. A little bit of history. It's early in the morning. Now listen, my time is almost up. Now listen, these are just some definitions. I want to read from the book and get you some few things. Now listen, are you here? Are you enjoying the service? Hello? Okay, I'm preaching. Now listen. There are things that you must survive. You see, I think that we ought not to be selective in our preaching. We ought not to just preach blessings. Paul said that I know both how to be abased. Why is it that we don't teach a lot about being abased? But we teach a lot about being abounding. We believe in that. Oh, come on, we want to. We believe in abounding, having a lot of money, being blessed. I believe in that. But we ought to counterbalance it. Do you understand it? It can be, because Paul said it right there. Abased, abased, abound. Hungry for. We never teach how to be hungry. And sometimes I think that I once heard a prophet saying that he heard God say that, teach the people how, because they should teach children how to survive being martyrs, you know, martyrs, being killed for God. If you don't teach, people cannot go through it. You have to teach. So there's a type of training there. It is problem-free philosophy. You know, Hakuna Matana. You know Hakuna Matana? Problem-free philosophy. It's a type of philosophy. But to survive as a martyr and not recant and not deny Jesus, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy today for people to survive as martyrs and to die as martyrs. It will not be easy for people of today. They can only be told as stories. Today's Christian, they just don't know. They don't know anything apart from money. They don't know anything. It's just about how to abound, how to have a house, how to have a car, how to travel. Everybody's looking for travel, money, this. They don't know how to be hungry. You know, it's in the Bible. Then we just quote verse 13. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. Why don't you read verse 12? Why don't you read verse 12? Why is it that you don't know verse 12? Why is it that we have been selective? We have just skipped verse 12 and we are always quoting verse 13. You know verse 13. You know it. Give us verse 13. What is there? Let's all read it. Shout it. Say it well. Say it well. Do your hand like that. I can. Now, by the way, I'm showing you what you can do. You can also be hungry for God. I'm teaching you. I'm not shy of preaching this gospel. I'm not shy of telling you that there's a place for you to be hungry for God. There's a place, if you really must serve God, and if you really must work for the Lord, there's a place where you'll be hungry. Hey, me, I'm this, me, I can't do it. Me, I can't take this. Then you can't serve God. That's what it means. If you can't take it, you can't serve God. That's what it is. Simple and plain. I know both. You don't just one. You just know one. One side of the coin. There's only one side of the coin that you know. It's only one side of the coin that you are aware of. But you don't know the other side. The other side of the coin is to be abased. In fact, that's the first one that it talks about. How to, it says, in every, it says, everywhere and in all things. Everywhere. That means everywhere you go, wherever you find yourself, you should be able to know both. Everywhere and in all things. You should be able to know both how to be hungry and how to be full. How to abound and how to suffer need. The word suffering is key. There are things that a Christian must suffer. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. Yes, let him take up, deny himself, take up his cross, suffer the cross. There's a cross for you to suffer. You don't want to talk about it. There's something, there's suffering, there's a painful part of this walk that you must embrace. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, if it is not taught, it is like, it becomes eroded. It's eroded, but I cannot lie to you that it is part of my work. I can't lie to you. I cannot lie to you. So if I don't teach you, you may think that it is not with me. Do you understand it? What I'm teaching, I'm sure like if you leave me, I'll preach more of this. More. Because that is what is missing. Do you know why I would prefer to preach more of this? Because you know a lot of abounding messages. You know how to abound. You know that abounding there. But this time we have established it as a truth. We've concretized it. We have established it as a truth. I don't need to preach anymore for you to know that God will give you things. God should give you things. You must prosper. True or not true? But now I must also preach more of this so that you will understand this. That's the truth. Suffer need. Suffer need. I'm talking about suffering need. Mm-hmm. Having nothing. Have nothing for Christ. There's a part of this walk that is like that. If you cannot embrace it, then you cannot embrace the totality and the completeness of Christ. You cannot experience the depth of Christianity. You cannot experience the riches of his presence. You know, you can't experience it. Because he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But you don't know the rest of the message. Why don't you know the rest of the message? Give me that scripture. Carry up. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, right? Give it to me. I've forgotten. 3:10. Philippians 3:10. Yeah. See, I'm faster than the computer. Do you know? I'm serious. You see, if you don't know the Bible yourself, your laptop will not help you. Your computer will not help you. Your phone will not help you. Hey! That I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Suffering and death, right there. Suffer! I don't like it. Charlie, it's not a good message for Sunday morning. Should I continue preaching? Are you interested? How many of you are still interested? Look, if you are still interested, I want to say, look, it's not because I'm asking, you are genuinely interested. If you are not interested, let me know. I don't mind. After church, maybe I'll need to sit with you. Maybe you have questions so that I'll do it. I'll make time for you. Genuinely, you are interested in knowing more about what I'm preaching about this suffering that you must also suffer. There is an appointment for you to suffer. There is not only the appointment for you to have money. The Bible says that in this world, it says that you will have persecutions and tribulations. It says that, but don't be afraid. It says, because I have overcome. What did the Bible say? It says that whoever has left money, this, that, wife, children, it says that you shall receive them a hundredfold with persecutions. With persecutions. Hello? So if I don't teach you that part, when the money comes with persecution, you wouldn't even see that the blessing has come. Only that I came with persecution. Do you understand it? Beautiful. So there are things that you must suffer. There are beautiful things that have been appointed to you. So if we love the Lord, if you love the Lord, tell somebody, if you love the Lord. Hello? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sit well. If you love the Lord, you must embrace this. That's it. It's one of the things that you should just tell yourself that even if you don't understand, that is what the Bible has written. In fact, it will take you a long time to understand, so you better start obeying now. before you. Take it as an appointment. Because the Bible says it's an appointment unto man once you die. Okay? It's appointed for you to die. So there are some appointments. If you want to have a certain walk with the Lord, there are certain appointments you must meet. Yes. You must encounter them. That I may know him. So he says it right there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Suffer need. Suffer need. Not just need, though. The need, you know, is just it is a need to suffer. It's an appointment for you. You must go through it. You must go through it. Embrace it. If the Lord wants it for you, why don't you like it? Why don't you like it? I've always thought about it. That why is it that if God wants you to drink this cup, why don't we like it? If Jesus himself is... Do you think that Jesus cannot give you something bitter? He drank something bitter. He says, you cannot drink the cup, my cup. You too, you have your cup. Oh. You too, there's a cup that is meant for you. He drank his. You must drink yours. Let me just give you some points, because I can just talk about these scriptures and we will never finish. Things to suffer. Now, these are like certain things that I call them like... You see, your life must be... You must have parallels in the Bible that you live your life by. Parallels. Your life must mirror something in the Bible. Your life must have... You yourself must have parallels, not only the good ones. That's why Jesus is the ultimate example. So parallel, Jesus did this, Jesus had this, Jesus did this, just all the things that Jesus went through. You live your life by this. This is Jesus' own, this is yours. So side by side, you live. Amen?
Amen?
Yes. Ben, do you understand what I'm saying? You see, your life shouldn't just be playing instruments. It's not, if you stop there, you miss out on some things. You will never experience maybe the death. Don't stop, but that's not the end of your ministry. Like, that's not the fullness of it. There are other things that if you don't go through the suffering, you will not experience them. You understand it? Now, number one, so I call these things that you must survive. There are things that I feel you must survive. Paul survived a lot of things. You must survive and minister the gospel in spite of restrictions and imprisonment. Restrictions and imprisonment. All right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison, more frequent, in death, often." In death, oft. Actually, often in the King James. He says, in prisons. The gospel has reached us through such things as people being imprisoned. I personally know, you see, Paul, this is Paul's story. Paul was often arrested. The disciples were arrested. And Peter preached. They arrested them. You know, Peter, they arrested them and put them in prison. And the next day, the angel came to open them. Then they were preaching. So when they were ready to bring them to the authority, they said that the people that were put in prison, they are preaching outside. They didn't understand it. In fact, they should have taken their time to ask them, how did you get out of prison? But they were so eager to just arrest them that they just went to bring them back. And they made them preach. And he preached to them. And they beat them small. And you know what Peter said? He said that they were happy that they were counted worthy to suffer. Wow! Will you also be counted worthy? It is like a crown. It's like a blessing. It's a blessing to be counted worthy that you too, you must be beaten small. You must suffer small. It is a privilege. You will not even get it. You will not even get it. You will not even get this privilege. To be counted worthy. Acts 6. Acts. Okay, don't go there. Don't move there. counted worthy to suffer. But Paul, I'm talking about Paul. Let's stay at 2 Corinthians. Paul says in prison very often. I know of people, somebody who went to preach, and when he was preaching, he went to a country to preach, he had to take pictures, and he was arrested. Do you get it? For that. I mean, he didn't know, whatever, but it took a lot for him to be released. Just because he's going to preach, and he didn't know so many things in the area, and it happened. You see? So if you see there's a church in that area, it will be because somebody was arrested and put behind bars for maybe a couple of days before he was released. Some of them did not survive. I know when I was in Cyprus, I heard that the church there, the Methodist Church, the first group of people who came, that was about 100 years, more than 100 years there, that the people who came to preach there, the whole place was like into idol things, idolatry, that they put them in prison. They actually put them in prison. Yeah. They're going to preach, or they were arrested. It's actually the case in a lot of places. Do you know that? Yeah. So what am I saying? 100 years down the line, there are people who will be in church. They will not be doing outreaches. They will be fighting over who should sing with the microphone. Who should stand behind the microphone. And they will be quarreling over who should use the microphone. And they wouldn't know that for the gospel to reach them, somebody was actually put in prison and put behind bars. The shame of being put in prison for not doing anything wrong, but just preaching the good news of Christ. That alone does not stop them from preaching. And listen to me. Paul said this years ago, but it has happened. That is how the gospel has come to us here. A lot of people down the line, they move to villages and places and cities. A lot of pastors in India and a lot of countries, they are arrested. Put behind bars in communist countries. There are stories after stories. Communism. A lot of Christians arrested for their faith. Oh, a lot of stories. There are lots of such stories. In prison often. So I'm saying that for the gospel to reach us now, that's how it has been. Some people had to be arrested and then they got the opportunity to still preach. But somebody had to move and allow himself to be arrested, maltreated maybe for some time, then he was released, then he got the opportunity to preach a while. That is how the gospel is preached. So you must survive it. I'm saying that you must survive something like that and not say that, small preaching that I want to preach, I won't preach again. You can't say that. For you to now be here this morning, comfortably sitting on this padded chairs, nice chairs, this with colorful light and a nice environment like this, some bones had been buried. People have had to die because they had to be in prison because they were thinking about us. They were thinking about today. So they did not count themselves as being special. And they allowed themselves to go through certain things. Do you understand it?
Yes.
Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2, the church of Smyrna, the Bible says to the church of Smyrna, this is Jesus Christ. And he's writing to the church. But he says, verse 10, he says to that church that they shouldn't be afraid. He says, fear not for none of those things that thou must. Fear not for the things that thou must suffer. That's where the appointment comes in. It's like, thou must. If Jesus is talking to you, he will tell you, you must suffer certain things. No. I wonder if you are interested. Are you interested? Are you not? Think about what God has appointed that you must suffer that you have dodged up till now. Hello? I'm not thinking about the money that you... I'm not talking about money this morning. Hello? Hello? Look, look, look. Wake up, wake up. Sit up. Sit up and look at my face. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what you must suffer. So that you preach the gospel. So that somebody, the next generation and some younger people who are out there who don't know what to do with their lives, they will receive this gospel. This is what you must do. Fear not those things that thou must suffer. Thou must suffer. For the devil will put some of you, he will cast some of you into prison. That they may suffer, they will be in prison. Yes, they will be cast into prison for suffering. Fear not. But look at verse 11. He says that, but be thou faithful unto death. I want to just talk about, my time is running. Two things. He says that, don't be afraid for the things you must. That means that that's an appointment. Then the verse 11 says that, but be thou faithful. That means that, be resolute. He's not saying that, there will be sugar for you and all that. No. He said, be thou faithful unto death. So the commandment here is that you must be prepared. You must have a dogged commitment. A dogged commitment and determination. You are a die-hard, faithful person to the very end. As they are torturing you in prison, don't give up. That's what he's saying. Be faithful to the very end. Don't deny my name. Hold on to my name. Survive. Survive. Survive to the end. Be faithful to the end. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So I want you to know that there are certain appointments. You know, I will end here because I wanted to share two more, but nah, it's okay. I want you to know something. To survive, you see, they say that there are things you must survive in prison often. There are certain things that you must survive. The devil will cast some people in prison. There are situations. You know, there were some people, I know some people who went on an outreach. They went to do an outreach. Are you listening? Yeah. When they went on the outreach, I know them. They witnessed to a little boy. These are pastors now. They witnessed to a little boy. 2 days after, they found the boy dead somewhere. No, no. The story is funny. They went to witness to a boy. Then 2 days after, some people found the boy dead. He was not lost for 2 days. He didn't get missing for 2 days. But when they wanted to get people to charge them with the offense, do you know the first people they thought about? The people who went to do the witnessing. Who did the witnessing 2 days before the boy died? And they went for them. About two or three guys. They went for them and they put them behind bars. Counter back. That they are the ones. How can it be? They just went out witnessing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Give your life to Jesus. And they met you. So they couldn't remember anybody. They couldn't remember anybody. That they remembered, oh, we saw some two guys who were witnessing to them. How? Can you say that because they were talking to the other ones? They took them. And you know how sometimes the police also work? Sometimes I feel that they just want somebody to blame. There are times that's how I think. You don't want to really listen to a lot. Because people are also liars. So they have to also think in a certain way. So but these boys were innocent. They knew nothing about it. They just witnessed it and they left. 2 days after, I remember we were making frantic efforts to call. What were they? They were there up till evening. You know, you had to call. I tell you, make whatever. We were calling. I think we were even calling all the way to the IGP or somebody. I'm not joking. But God, this one, let's do this, do that. Dude, it was terrible. But all because they went to preach. You must survive it. They are still pastors. May you also survive such things. Are you going to survive? You must survive it and preach and continue, because that is your appointment. And I'll give you a secret. I'll give you a secret to surviving this. The secret is your commitment. Jesus says that, Jesus gives us how to survive it in this. Be faithful. It means that your commitment is important. Your commitment to it, your will. You must have a strong will to say that, look, do you know what? I've decided. If you don't take such decisions, you will not survive a lot of things. You have to decide and say, I am here. Good or bad, I'm here. Do you understand it? Good or bad, I'm here. To survive this is how you can work. You must have a mind. It's just like you are unbendable. You are not going to yield to anything. Say, I am going to be here. I'm going to survive till the very end. Amen. May you survive. May you survive. In Jesus' name. My prayer for you is that you will survive. And when God is giving, and he says that I'll give you a crown of glory. Okay, if you survive it, you are going to receive a crown of glory. May you be one of the survivors. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. Plant your feet. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that your will be done in this place. In Jesus' name. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us in what we ought to do and the things that we ought to survive, the persecutions and everything that, Lord, you have planned for us, the appointments you have for us. I pray that you will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.